Hello, and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin, the pastor at Neely's Bend Baptist Church, and we're so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church. In today's sermon from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we see the superior message of the Son. In this particular sermon, we're going to look at two different messages, the message of the angels and the message of the Son. And the message of the Son is a far superior message in that it brings a great salvation. However, we must not drift away from the message of the Son, as verse 1 teaches. Thanks for listening to our sermons here at Neely's Bend, and we hope you have a great week. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. And so if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Give you guys a moment to get there. Hebrews chapter 2. And the Word of God says this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for mothers, Lord. As we've already prayed for mothers, God, we thank you so much for mothers and what they mean in the lives of so many people. God, this morning we just want to pray that your will is done this morning, Lord. We just want to pray for this word that's being preached this morning. We want to give you thanks for your word. God, we thank you so much for this passage and how it just shows that you, the Son, has a superior message. It's a message of great salvation, and it's one we should not drift away from. God, this morning I pray that you will just clear our minds and open our eyes and open our hearts and open our ears to be able to see, hear, and receive your word this morning, Lord. And that we will then take this word and we will live this word out, that we will abide in your word, and that your word will abide in our very own lives. And God, this morning, I just pray that you help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion. Help me to boldly proclaim your truth and your truth alone. And God, this morning, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came and he died on the cross. And he gave his life so we can have life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I owned a bass boat. And I would go fishing often, sometimes 3 days a week. I really enjoyed fishing, as you can tell. Loved everything about it. And there were several times where you would locate a school of fish, and you had to be sitting in the exact same spot, making the exact same cast over and over and over in order to catch fish. But if you drifted off of that spot just a little bit, and you tried to make that same cast, you would not catch a fish. You had to be in the exact same spot every time. And if you drifted off course, it ultimately mattered. It mattered tremendously. Drifting off course matters. Which is why, when you're on that spot, what do? You drop your anchor so you never move around. Our passage today deals with this very same subject of drifting. Drifting around. And sometimes drifting can be very much more detrimental than drifting off a spot that catches fish. Now, some people may say otherwise, especially the fishermen here. But it's very detrimental when you drift off the spot. Recently, at the end of March, the city of Baltimore experienced a really horrible, detrimental drifting.
When a cargo ship drifted off its course after losing power and crashed into a bridge, collapsing the bridge. This is the picture the author of Hebrews is trying to convey this morning, trying to paint for us. This passage ultimately serves as a warning to us to not drift away. The first of five different warnings that we will see throughout the book of Hebrews. And this passage is warning us not to drift from the gospel, but rather we must anchor ourselves into the gospel, anchor ourselves into God's word. And this gospel is ultimately the superior message of the Son that we're going to see today. In way of explaining why drifting is not good, the author uses two messages to prove his point. The message of the angels and the message of the Son. He shows us that the Son's message is far superior to the message of the angels. This passage ultimately plays all on chapter 1. If you remember in chapter 1, we saw the supremacy of Christ and how he was so much greater than the prophets, how he was so much greater than the angels. And the author continues that with showing us the message of the Son is greater than that of the angels. Because neglecting salvation is far more detrimental. So let's explore these two messages here in Hebrews chapter 2. The first message that we see is the message of the angels. The message of the angels. I'm going to skip over verse 1 for a moment here, and we'll come back to it in the second part of our sermon here. But verse 2, it says this, "For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution." So before we can really dig into this, and before we can begin to really understand what the message declared by the angels is, we have to know what that message is. The passage here doesn't really give us a clear example or a clear answer. So we kind of have to look a little bit elsewhere. In Acts chapter 7, verse 53, we read this, "You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, we see, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come in whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. I can't say that word. Intermediary. I'm just going to stop. With the help of those two verses, we get an answer to our question here. What is the message of the angels? From reading those two passages, it was the Old Testament law. It was the law in the Old Testament. And we know that it is becoming more apparent to what the author is speaking to. He is saying that the Old Testament law proved to be reliable, proved to be sure enough, to be good. It was legally binding. It was unalterable, as some translations say. Meaning that the Old Testament law was a binding law, and if it was transgressed, or if someone disobeyed that law, then those that did would receive just retribution, just as our passage says. They were punished accordingly, just as if we were caught speeding by law enforcement today on our way home, and I hope that doesn't happen to any of you, what would you get in the mail a few weeks later? You would get a just retribution, a punishment of a fine that you have to pay for the ticket that you received for speeding, for breaking the law. Now, the author of Hebrews here is a very stylistic writer. He writes with elegance. And this particular passage is one of those stylistic passages. And to prove his point, he uses a lesser to greater argument. So he uses a lesser argument, and then it goes to a greater argument. And basically what we're saying here is that the lesser is true in a much lighter sense, but the greater message, the larger message, is true in a much greater sense. Both are true, one is lesser, one is greater. So to kind of help you understand this, imagine in your hand right now you're holding a very, very small rock. And this very small rock is a rock, isn't it? Just Imagine, you're holding it there. You can't even feel it. It's so small. But then now imagine a big boulder. Is that boulder still a rock? Absolutely it is, right? You see the idea. The larger rock, the smaller rock is true. It's a truly a rock. The boulder is a bigger rock, but it's truly a rock. It is just greater in how big it is. And so that's kind of the picture that the author is painting here. We have this true statement of how the Old Testament law was binding. It was unalterable. And if it was broken, it resulted in a just punishment, a just retribution. And what we're going to see here is the greater argument in verse 3. The second message that we see is the message of the Son. The message of the Son. So read with me verses 3 and 4 again. And it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This great salvation is what was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard." In verse 4, "While God also bore witness to by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will." The first thing we need to ask is the very same question that we asked earlier in regards to what the message of the angels is. So what is the message of the Son? And so here in this passage, we're given an answer. The message of the Son is the great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And then verse 4 follows and says, "It was declared first by the Lord." The message of the Son is salvation. The message of the Son is salvation. And I hope in your mind that this is bringing back some memories from chapter 1. If you remember, long ago, God spoke by the prophets, and in these last days, God has spoken by whom? His Son. He has spoken by His Son. And this very message that God spoke by His Son is the great salvation. It's the gospel. Now, what makes this message of great salvation superior to the message of the angels? Well, if you guys remember, if we continue to look back at Hebrews chapter 1, because the author is playing off of that whole chapter, he told us that the Son is heir, that the Son is creator, that the Son is the radiance of the glory of God, that the Son is the exact imprint of God's nature, that the Son upholds the universe by the word of His power, that the Son made purification for sins, that the Son even sits at the right hand of God. And then we saw that He was superior even to the angels, and that He had a more excellent name than them, that the angels worshiped the Son. And then last week we saw that Jesus, the Son, has a superior status and that He is on a throne that no angel will ever sit on. That was chapter 1. And now the author of Hebrews is taking it a step further and saying, even the message of the Son, the message of salvation, is greater than the message the angels brought. It's the very thing that Jesus did when He was here on earth, wasn't it? He preached repentance. He preached the kingdom. He preached salvation. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time," this is shortly, if I remember correctly, shortly after Jesus had came out of the wilderness. If I'm wrong, please don't throw tomatoes at me, but I believe I'm correct saying that. Shortly after the time that Jesus came out of the wilderness, and it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and He preached it. As a matter of fact, through His death on the cross, He displayed the message of salvation to all who would believe. The life of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is all the message of salvation which He spoke. The way in which one obtains salvation. We sung a song this morning. No other name, right? No other name. At the name of Jesus is the one who can be saved. The way in which one obtains salvation is through the Son. Think of John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through whom? Jesus. Through Jesus. And this salvation that the Lord spoke of, that Jesus spoke of, was attested and it was heard by the apostles. God Himself even bore witness to the Son and His salvation that He brings by performing many signs, many miracles, and many wonders. If you read through the Gospels, you will see all those signs and wonders and miracles that happened. And this was all to show us, to show the world that Jesus was who He is. The Son, the Savior, the One that was sent by God to save the world. Those who would believe. And lastly, the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit that believers receive after salvation, they all testify to the message of the Son. They testify and tell of the salvation and what the Son gives. And this salvation is one in which we should not neglect. Amen. To go back to our lesser and greater arguments, the Old Testament law was a binding law, and if you transgressed against it, you would be punished. And now what the author is saying is that if you neglect salvation, you can't escape the just punishment that you deserve. You can't escape it. If you neglect salvation, you cannot escape the just punishment that you deserve, that we all deserve. If you transgressed against the law in the Old Testament, you were punished, but you know what? You had the opportunity to provide a lamb, a sacrifice, and receive forgiveness of sins. But if you neglect this great salvation, the salvation of Jesus Christ, your punishment is hell. Your punishment is eternal separation from God. And you cannot escape that punishment because it will be too late. It will be too late. You see, from the time that you are born here on this earth to the time that you physically die here on this earth, you have the opportunity to respond to this great salvation, to respond to Jesus Christ and believe in Him as Savior and Lord. But the moment that you die, the moment you take your last breath here on this earth, if you have never responded to the salvation of Jesus Christ, there is no way to escape the just punishment that you deserved. And that is sad. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. It should be heartbreaking to all of us here, for those of us that have friends and family members and loved ones who have never made a decision to respond and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There is hope. There is hope. There is hope because Jesus came and brought us the message of salvation. And today, this morning, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ, if you've never submitted your life to Him, never committed your life and responded to the message of salvation, then today is the day for you to do that. Today can be the day in which you respond to the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. You see, we are sinners. We as humans are sinners. We make mistakes. We lie. We lust. We steal. We worship other things, other beings. We dishonor our mothers and fathers. We fail to glorify God in every part of our lives. And that sin that we have, it separates us from God. It separates us from Him. Because God is holy and righteous and He cannot look upon sin. He cannot associate with sin. But God in His goodness sent His Son, Jesus, with a message of salvation. And that message is this. Jesus came as a baby, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, died sacrificially on the cross, was buried in a grave, and on 3 days later he was resurrected, overcoming sin and death, taking on all the sins of all who would believe in him. And when you respond to the gospel, when you respond and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and the Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be saved. Your relationship will be restored with God. You can have fellowship with Him because of Christ and what He did, because it was Him who made you righteous. His blood that was shed on the cross, it washes over you, making you white as snow. And then God can look upon you, because the blood of Jesus is righteous, and it covers you now. It's like a coat. It's like a coat of righteousness that's been thrown over you. And whose righteousness is it? It's Jesus' righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. He's the one we put our faith in. We can't do it on our own, but Jesus can. And if that is you today, if you've never made the decision to respond to the gospel call and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and your Lord, I want you to know that you can do that right now, right where you are sitting. The Bible says all you have to do is believe in your hearts and confess that Jesus is Lord. Confess that Jesus is Lord. And during our invitational song here in a few minutes, if you want to, if you believe and you've responded to this call of the gospel, I would love for nothing more for you to come down and confess that and share that with me and with this whole church, because we all want to celebrate the goodness of what God has done in your life. Now, take us back to our passage. To go back to verse 1. And it says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The message that they had heard was the very message that I just shared with you. Salvation of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus. And it appears that people were drifting away from that message. Drifting, drifting, drifting. And drifting is no place for any Christian to ever be. Al Mohler writes this, there are only two options in the Christian life. Two options in the Christian life. We can either sail forward in fidelity, or we can drift backwards in faithlessness. We can either sail forward, or we can drift backwards, but there's never any standing still. We never stand still in the Christian life. You're either marching forward, or you're floating backwards. Where are you this morning? Are you sailing forward in God's Word? And the message of the Son and the gospel of Jesus? Or are you drifting backwards in faithlessness? Because you can't be standing still. Because if you think you're standing still, you're drifting backwards, I promise. Where are you right now? Where are you right now? The Hebrew Christians during this time, if we remember the book here, the letter of Hebrews, is likely written to Jewish Christians, Christians that were recently Jews and now are believers in Jesus Christ. They were facing a lot of persecution, tons of persecution. And it was becoming easy for them to just escape all this persecution by just drifting back to what they believed before. Just slowly drifting back. And the author of Hebrews knows this. And therefore he warns them to pay much closer attention to what they have heard. Church, We may not be facing the persecution that the early church faced here in America. We may not face the same persecution that Christians in other nations are being persecuted for. But church, I promise that we are being persecuted for what we believe. It just comes in many different forms. It comes when people accuse us of being heartless because we don't agree with their homosexual lifestyle. It comes when people accuse us, Christians, of hating others because they want to change their gender or biological sex. And we as Christians don't agree with that. It comes when people accuse Christians of not caring about women and mothers because we are pro-life and believe that abortion is murder of the unborn. It comes when people accuse Christians of not being able to live a fun lifestyle because we don't do what they do. But let me tell you, we can live a fun lifestyle. It's called a holy and righteous life. And it can be fun. It can be a great life. It's a far greater life than any other fun lifestyle that the world believes is fun. And church, if we're not sailing forward in faithfulness, if we are not pressing onward, if we are not moving toward our destination, we will drift. And if we keep on drifting and drifting and drifting, secular culture and secular society will begin to merge itself into the church, into the lives of the people, into the church. Something we have seen happen in several other denominations. Something that we saw happen just a couple of weeks ago with the United Methodist denomination, in which they voted to remove any and all bans against those who are of the LGBTQ community. Meaning that any of those people could serve as a pastor or a clergy in their churches. And as a result of one thing, drifting from this very word right here. And when you drift, and you drift, and you drift, your life is going to begin looking more and more and more like secular society and secular culture. I say all this to say that in order for us not to drift away from what we have heard, in order for us not to drift away from God's Word must be our anchor. It must be our anchor. And if we don't have our anchor dropped, if we don't have our lives anchored in God's Word, we will drift. We will drift from God's truth. We will drift from God's Word, and we will neglect the great salvation. Let me demonstrate this for you here. I have a clicker. This is a clicker, okay? And I want you to imagine that this clicker is a boat, okay? It's a really big boat out in the middle of the ocean, right? And now this clicker has a little laser on it. Can y'all see that laser up there? Y'all see it? Okay. I'm going to turn around here. I hope y'all can see it. Can everybody see the laser on the top of the cross there? Can y'all see that? Okay. Now, see, I just drifted. Y'all don't know if y'all hold on to that or not. But now this laser right here is, that's the destination that I'm heading. That this boat is going. But let's say that I drift like 1 degree. Am I going to miss my destination now? Absolutely, right? Now let's just say that I just keep drifting and drifting and drifting and drifting. And I just keep drifting and I don't do anything to correct my drifting. What happens? We get further and further and further away from our destination, don't we? And it's going to become really, really hard to correct that. But if we just keep drifting and drifting and drifting and drifting, and we ultimately might even turn around to where we're facing that direction. And go in a completely different direction. Just by drifting a couple of degrees, we go a different direction. We hit another country. We might even hit another continent, for that matter. And the farther and farther we drift away from the original spot, the farther and farther away we get from that destination. This is what happens when we drift away from God's Word. This is what happens when we drift away from the gospel of Jesus. When we drift away from the superior message of the Son, it will take us somewhere completely different than where this word originally was supposed to take us. It will take us into sin. It will take us into compromise of God's word. It will take us to unholy, unrighteous, ungodly living. And if you're not careful, it can take you straight to hell. Because that is what happens when we drift and we drift and we drift and we neglect the great salvation. It's a faith that fizzled. This makes me think of the passage of the four souls in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus explains that the seeds were, just kind of give everybody an explanation, there's these four souls and there's seeds that's being sown out into these different seeds, there's different souls. The first soul was soil that was along the path. So imagine a pathway and seed just kind of spilling out alongside the pathway. The second soil was a rocky soil. It was, had a bunch of rocks in it. It was very clunkied up with rocks. The third soil was the thorny soil. So you can imagine weeds and thorns growing in that area. And then the fourth soil was the good soil. And Jesus then explains the parable to help the disciples understand it. And so what you see is that this seed is the gospel. It's the gospel being sown. It's the gospel being sown out there. And some people, like the first soul along the path, they will hear the gospel, but they will not understand it. And therefore, they will drift away from the gospel, ultimately neglecting the great salvation. The second soul was rocky ground. And when the gospel is sown, these people will hear the gospel and they will receive it with joy and excitement. But because of tribulation and persecution, they drift away from the truth of the gospel, neglecting the great salvation. The third soil was a thorny soil. It was soil that was filled with weeds and thorny plants. And when the gospel is sown, these people, they hear the gospel. But because of their cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, they drifted away from the gospel, neglecting the great salvation. In all three of these cases, none of them ever truly believed in the gospel of Jesus. They never truly made that decision to respond to the gospel call and hold it humbly in their hearts. The gospel never took root here. Does that make sense? They drifted away. And this drift can sometimes be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. We don't really know. But if the gospel doesn't take root here, it will eventually drift away from you. But the fourth soul was the good soul. It was ready. It was plowed. It was ready for seed. These people, they heard the gospel. They understood the gospel. They believed the gospel. And then they produced fruit of the gospel. Those people did not drift from the gospel. They did not neglect the great salvation because they truly believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Truly believed in the gospel of Jesus. The gospel gripped a hold of their heart and it rooted deep into their lives. This is what I believe this passage in Hebrews is teaching us. It is teaching us that if we drift and drift and drift and drift away from the gospel, it is likely because we never truly believed in the first place. I love Roy Johnson over here and what he says. There used to be a previous pastor here at this church, and he used to say this, and Roy quotes this guy all the time. And he says, a faith that fizzles, it was a fatal flaw from the start. A faith that fizzles was a fatal flaw from the start. Am I saying that right, Roy? Nope. A faith that fizzles was a fatal fall from the start. And drifting, massive drifting, without any correction, without any repentance, let me tell you, it's a faith that fizzles. It's a faith that was a fatal flaw from the very beginning. So I say all this to say, check your heart. Check yourself. Are you drifting, drifting, drifting? Or are you pressing onward toward faithfulness? Because if you're drifting, drifting, I'm not calling into question your salvation here, but if you're drifting, there's things that you need to put a check on. And if you're truly a believer, you need to swing that ship around and begin sailing forward to faithfulness. Because that's what God's Word calls us to. That's the warning that we are receiving here in this passage. To sail forward, not drift backwards. Sail forward. In our sermon today, we've ultimately seen two messages, right? We've seen more than these two messages, but we've seen the message of the angels and we've seen the message of the Son. Each one leads to punishment, but only one of those leads to eternal punishment. Therefore, we must not neglect the great salvation of the Son, Jesus Christ. And we do that by not neglecting that which we have heard. And that is God's holy word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some way of living this out. Very simple, right? Don't drift from the message of the Son. And ultimately what I mean when I say that, make God's Word your anchor. Make God's Word your compass. Make God's Word your map. Make God's Word everything. And you will never drift away from this. You will never drift away from the truth of God's Word. There's a psalm that I really enjoy. And it says, "Thy Word is a light unto my path." This word, I tell you, it lights up the directions we're supposed to go. But if we're not in it, if we're not anchored to it, we're going to drift away to the darkness. And this word is not going to be a light to our lives. Let the word be the light of your lives. Let the word be the anchor on which your soul holds on to. Let God's word be the map that you need in all parts of your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much this morning for the gospel of the Son, for the message of the Son, and how the message of the Son brings us great salvation. Because Lord, if we don't believe in this great salvation, if we don't come to know you and trust in you as Savior and Lord, God, this great salvation is absolutely nothing to us. But God, we thank you for sending Jesus and the gospel that comes with him. And Lord, I pray this morning that we all are wholeheartedly believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of the Son. And Lord, if there's one here and you're working on their heart in this moment, Lord, if you're calling them, if you're drawing them, if you're inclining them to respond and believe in your gospel this morning, Lord, I pray that in this moment they will do that. That they will submit their lives to you. That they will believe in you as Savior and Lord. That they'll believe that you died for them. And they will confess you as Savior and Lord. And God, I pray that we, as individuals, will never, ever drift away from your word. That we will let your word be the anchor to our lives. Let the word be a map, Lord. Let the word be a compass for us. But we never drift away from it. And Lord, I pray as a church, as a whole, Lord, that we will always hold to your word. That your word will be the anchor of this church. That your word will be the map of this church. The compass of this church. And Lord, I pray we never drift away from this word. So God, this morning we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for the message of the Son. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.